Yemeta tells us that the different rabbis of Yemeta spoke about credits they had, how each one was particular and certain in its work. Rabbi Nachman said, I shall receive credit in Olam Haba because I was always more particular about the mitzvah of eating Shavuos on the Shabbat. Other rabbis said, I was particular about the mitzvah of tefillin. I never walked 4 steps without tefillin. Other ones said, I was particular about the mitzvah of tzit. I was careful, too, to that respect. And one asked another rabbi, which mitzvah was your father most particular in? They answered the mitzvah of tzitzit. Once one of his tzitzit tore, and he wouldn't budge from that spot until he repaired it. The HaKadosh says, a person is very particular about a mitzvah.
The person finds himself being particular about a certain mitzvah more than others. This is a revelation that he came back as a Gilgul to perfect this mitzvah which he had failed in the past Gilgul. His neshama knows about this. He himself cannot be aware of it. But subconsciously, since his neshama knows, therefore the neshama drives him onward to obeying this mitzvah to a greater, higher degree, to make amends for that which he failed before. So the person who finds himself pursuing a certain mitzvah to a greater extent, he should continue to do so and try to elevate himself until that mitzvah is done with perfection. This does not mean that Chas V'Shalom should neglect other mitzvot,
because he's responsible for all. It's just that this is a main point in his life or in his past life. Ashrei to the person who is particular in all mitzvot as they should be. Because by doing all mitzvot, the person is zocheh to Olam Haba, above all to be zocheh to see during his lifetime, during our lifetime, becoming a Mashiach, b'yabed mikdash, rabbi meino, amen, b'yamin.
We mentioned the words of Rabbi Yossi in the items that he said, may it be my lot, I wish I could fulfill these certain acts. One of them we said was, may it be my lot to be the one who seats the students in the Bet Midrash, and not the one who tells them to get up. The one who announces that it's time for a shiur class yeshiva to begin, that it should be seated, and not the one who announces that it's time for lunch, it's time to end the class. Now this is, the wording is, V'yoshve Bet Midrash. It'd be my lot to be the one who makes them sit in the Bet Midrash. V'lo mima'amide Bet Midrash. Not one who makes them stand up, rise up, meaning that the class is over. Another interpretation is the word sit means sit and learn. The word stand means support, to support those who are learning. Now we know there is the case of Yisachar and Zevulun, two partners in the study of Torah. Yisachar means one who studies Torah and does not concern himself with making a living, with earning money. Zebulun is the partner who earns the money for Yisachar. He supports Yisachar in study of Torah. The result is that both share alike in the Torah which Yisachar studied. When it comes time to receive reward, both receive an equal share of the reward of the Torah of Yisachar. Not only that, but we mentioned once that in the Berachah that was given to the tribes, the sons of Yaakov, the tribes, it says, Smach Zebulun b'tzeitecha, v'yisachar b'yohalecha. Be happy, Zebulun, when you go out to do business, because you are receiving credit of Torah through your business. You're supporting the Chacham who studied Torah. And Yisachar, in your tent, the study of Torah. Now, the first one to receive the blessing was Zebulun. Before Yisachar, even though Yisachar is the one that studied Torah, so we'll look at the blessing first, because through him only can Yisachar sit without any worries about Parnassah. He can sit and study Torah. Rabbi Yossi says here, I know about that, that these two receive an equal share. True that Zebulun gets Yisachar equally with Yisachar, because he supports him. Yet, he said, may my lot be, if I have to be one of these two partners, I'd rather be among the Yoshve Bet Midrash, among those who sit to the yeshiva and study Torah, rather than mima'amidei Bet Midrash, those who support the yeshiva, support the ones who sit to study Torah, because both receive equal reward. Meanwhile, Yisachar is the one that's sitting and studying Torah, rather than going out into the world among Ahavdil Goyim or businessmen where you don't hear words of Kiddushah. true that the reward is the same. Still, two people earn the same amount of money, for example. One works in a pleasant job, the other works in a job that isn't so pleasant.
So that's, he said, I'd rather be the one that studies Torah and gets the same reward rather than the one that goes out and works and supports the one that studies Torah.
Of course, we cannot have everyone sitting and studying Torah because there would be no panaseh for anyone. We cannot have everyone going out and working and earning a living because there'd be no one to support the study of Torah. You have to have both. There must be ones who study. The world cannot exist without Torah.
And there must be ones who support the Talmidei Chachamim who study Torah. Must be both. And each person must qualify for one of these two. Which means that if a person has the capacity, the ability to study Torah, he should sit and study Torah. Make that his life.
If one has the ability to go out and perform, accomplish a business, and he does not have the capacity for the study of Torah, then he is required, it is not by choice, it is an obligation on his part, to go out and work. But remember that you have the same requirement in the study of Torah as the second one. How can you fulfill that requirement?
By supporting the one who studies Torah. That's your part
in the study of Torah, the existence, continuation of the study of Torah in the world. This is what Rav Yossi meant when he made this statement. We go back now to topic of the Kedusha of Shabbat. The Rebbe says that on Friday evening, that is, Shabbat begins, there is a special tefillah, which we say in the Amidah, a tefillah called Vayechulu Hashemayim V'Haaretz. We say it again after the Amidah is over, and then we say it for Kiddush. This short paragraph, Vayechulu Hashemayim V'Haaretz, comes from the Chumash, first chapter in Chumash in Bereshit. After the 6 days of creation were over, Vayechulu Hashemayim V'Haaretz, the heavens and earth were finished. Then Hashem rested on the Shabbat. He blessed the Shabbat Kodesh, made it holy because on he rested from all his work, Asher Bara Elokim, which Hashem created, La'asot, to do. He created to do, which means there is something that's not finished. Even it says no. A person who says Vayechulu, who says this paragraph,
with Kavanah, which means with complete Emunah, in the fact that Hashem created the world, in the fact that the world was created 5,730 years ago, and not before that. In other words, he has the Emunah in Chidush HaOlam, that this is a new world. It is not a world that is old, Chas V'Shalom, as the scientists, philosophers, Yimach Shemem V'Zecham say, world millions of years old and so on. This is absolute Kefida. This person says Vayechulu with true emunah in the Chidush HaOlam, in that Hashem created it so many years ago, that is a new world, then this person, the Yonetta says, becomes a partner to Hashem in the act of creation. He becomes a partner in the creation of this world. And that's what's meant by Asher Bara Elokim La'asot.
Hashem created the world to last for how long?
To last for 6 days. Then comes the Shabbat, and that's it. That's the end of creation. The world must be recreated in the coming week. Who will perform this creation? Hashem. But a person who observes the Shabbat, says Vayechulu, he becomes a partner with Hashem in the creation of the world. Now that Hashem created the world and created man, there must be a partnership between Hashem and man in creating the world from now on. That's why, you know, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that there had to be Shmirat Shabbat in the moment of creation and on. Not to say that Shabbat came about the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, wasn't observed before, Chas V'Shalom. The time the world was created, Adam HaRishon was a Shomer Shabbat completely. The sun, Shit, other tzadikim afterwards, though the world possessed very few tzadikim, but there had to be, and there were, tzadikim in all generations who kept the Shabbat. Unless this was so, the
could be no longer a heaven and earth. It had to be created. How did a person create this? Baru, Shmirat Shabbat is saying Vayechul. Therefore, the Yemenis says that no, a person who says Vayechul with this Kavanah in mind, he is zocheh to be considered an actual partner to Hashem in the act of creation. Yemenis says too, that when a person says Vayechul, two heavenly angels place their hand over his head, and they say to him, your sins are now forgiven. You have become heavenly. All your sins are taken away from you. The Yemenis says further, this is in the Knis. This takes place in the shul while selling. After the prayers are over, the davening is over, then the person goes home, to his home, and two angels accompany him. One is a good angel, one is the angel of evil. They come to his home, and they find the candles lit, which means that the wife has done her duty. Table is set, which means that the Kavod Shabbat is there. Kavod Shabbat is shown on a table, a white tablecloth, with the chalot on it, with the meal prepared, the wine. Then a good angel says to this Jew, I give you a blessing. You have fulfilled this Shabbat. May you be zochet to fulfill the coming Shabbat. For me, it's not only should you be zochet to comply with the mitzvah of Shabbat again, but that you should live this entire week. I give you a blessing for life till the coming week, up till and including next Shabbat. You should be zochet to repetition of this beracha. The angel of evil, against his own will, is forced to answer Amen to this beracha. If, however, these two angels find that in his home this is not so, there's lacking this table set, there's lacking this air of Shabbat, then the angel of evil says, may it be the will of Hashem, that next Shabbat should be as dark for you as this one, Chas v'Shalom. And the angel of goodness, the good angel, very sadly, against his will, is forced to answer Amen to this too. The Zohar Kadosh tells us in what detail. Zohar Kadosh says when a person comes home from Yis, and the candles are seen, lit, the table is set, husband and wife prepare to sit down at the table, attitude of Simcha, Ha'av Kiddusha, then the Shekhinah itself, Spirit of Hashem, says, this is one of mine. He belongs to me. This is the Jew by whom I am proud. Yisrael Hashemcha et Ta'er. And Chas v'Shalom, the Shekhinah sees that the table is not set, Shabbat is not in order, then the Shekhinah leaves, and instead, the Yitzhar had up, and his forces come, and they attach themselves, Chas v'Shalom, to this person. They say, this belongs to us. It's one of ours. And the spirit of Tum'ah rests upon that person, Chas v'Shalom. So important is this basic, all-important mitzvah of Shabbat, especially at the introduction of Shabbat itself on Friday night. Yemenis says, person does one mitzvah, then heaven gives him one angel. That angel is created through his mitzvah. He does two mitzvot, he receives two angels. He does many mitzvot, he receives as many angels as the mitzvot that he does. This we learn from the Pasuk in Tehillim, which says, Ki melacha mitzaveh lach l'shmoicha. Hashem will give you angels to guard you. Guard you from what? Guard you from mimazikim, from these evil spirits, evil angels. The Pasuk says, Vipol mitzidcha elef onevava miminecha. Your left side shall fall 1,000, your right side shall fall 10,000. So, the Yemenis says, one rabbi says, why is it that to the right 10,000 or to the left 1,000? Which means that the left requires less protection. This is because the left side has the name of Hashem. The left arm, he wears a tefillin, which bear the name of Hashem, which are the symbol of Emunah. Therefore, the left side is much stronger and requires only 1,000 angels to guard him. Second rabbi disagrees and says, you're not speaking. We say on the left side 1,000 should fall, the right side 10,000.
We're not speaking about good angels guarding him at this number. We're speaking about falling, which means evil spirits shall fall this number. It shows that the right side is stronger. The left side is always strong enough to defeat 1,000 evil spirits, while the right side is powerful to the extent that it can defeat 10,000. The reason is that left side has only one mitzvah, and that is tefillin. The right side is omen sort of done with the right hand, the right side, therefore it has a greater power, and it can destroy 10,000 mazikim.
Yemena now goes on to after Shabbat. He said there are three seudot on Shabbat that are compulsory, shalosh seudot, Friday night, Shabbat the morning after Shachrit, after Musaf, and then the Suda Shlishit. These three are compulsory as part of Shabbat. When Shabbat ends, we have a Sudat Malave Malkah,
Sudat in which it is customary to accompany the queen as she leaves, a Shabbat queen. You make a feast, a farewell feast for that queen. It's called Sudat of David HaMelech. This Sudat is a mitzvah too. To comply with this mitzvah properly, a person also be sure to wash, to eat bread at this meal. It should be a regular meal.
As we shalom, a person should not miss this meal on Motzei Shabbat. It is a meal that is compulsory. In fact, the Zohar HaKadosh says, these omrings, Sport Shulchan Aruch, that this is a meal that's made especially for the bone in the spine that can never be destroyed. This bone couldn't be destroyed by the strongest metal on earth. No physical power on earth can destroy this bone. And it is this bone that remains when the person's body disintegrates in the ground after he dies. This bone remains, tiny bone. And it is this bone from which the body is brought back to life at Tchiyat HaNitim.
Why does this bone have the power of eternal life? Why does this bone, it's called a Natschoi, this bone, or a Luz, as it's more famously known, the Luz. Why does this bone have such power that it cannot be destroyed, that it lives on forever?
The reason is that every part of a person's body had ana'a, pleasure, from the tree of wisdom. First act wrong that was committed by Adelei Shun. He ate from the tree of wisdom, and has brought that every single soul was present at that time and participated in this bit of food, which caused so much damage. Thus, this sin cannot be erased except through coming to earth, going through the torture of Hibut HaKeved, having to be buried, and so on. Body has to disintegrate. The only part of the person's body that did not have any hana'ah from the tree of wisdom was this bone Luz. Because of that, this bone remains immune to any type of harm. It's indestructible.
Everything even it says that this meal on Motzei Shabbat is made for this bone, especially. It nourishes this bone. So important is this meal.
But two, it is greater to nourish this bone. It surely nourishes the rest of the body, even physically.
Yemena says that on Motzei Shabbat, a person wants a cure. There are two things that are a cure for practically all illnesses, and that is to eat warm bread or warm bagels and to drink something warm, warm drinks. On Motzei Shabbat, this is a definite fact. Yemena says that something warm, liquid, warm bread, is a melugma. Melugma means a cure. A general cure for a person's illnesses. A person should be very particular about fulfilling this mitzvah. Yemena says that certain rabbis were secular and beautified this fact, spending more effort on it. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch says that some were accustomed to lighting candles Saturday night, just as they do Friday night, but the difference is they didn't say a beracha on it, to show that it was still a festive occasion. Yemena says that
used to prepare a Motzei Shabbat special meal, the best meat possible.
Selected animal, which he would slaughter for this meal, he would take out a part of the animal, the kidney, and prepare this for Motzei Shabbat. A new animal, every Motzei Shabbat, slaughtered especially for this occasion. If that's an ordinary animal,
Englatilta, spectacular animal. When his son grew up,
he asked his father, why should you, this is waste, why spoil so much? Have to slaughter an animal for the sake of a kidney, leave over a kidney
from the animal you slaughtered for Shabbat, leave it over for the Motzei Shabbat meal. Yevel did this the next Shabbat, and which means that he saved an animal now, but not slaughtering it. That night, a lion came and devoured this animal, meaning there was no profit in it whatsoever, and showing that it was not wasted as the son had thought. It was considered a very important mitzvah in heaven, the extent that an animal should come into his home. And just to eat this one single animal that was set aside for the meal of Motzei Shabbat show the importance and how heaven considered this as hanachat ruach, a pleasure to heaven kaviyachol, near the pleasure to take it away. This was the punishment. Even it tells us, therefore, that a person should be particular about the meal of Motzei Shabbat, the highest possible degree. Be sure to eat a regular meal and consider it a sort of a holiday atmosphere. To wash, sit at the meal, and to eat something, drink something warm. Even it says, Yeshua Levi said, any person who answers, Amen, Yeheh Shemir Avanu Varach, with all his might, all his power, meaning with all his kavanah, that any decree that's written in heaven against him is torn up, and he is spared from any type of punishment. So important is this, because there's no greater praise to Hashem than this sentence. Explains the every single word here is a combination of the names of Hashem. It is so deep, so fantastic in the revelation. Only those learning Kabbalah would understand and appreciate it. But even we don't understand, at least we have an emunah, complete faith that the depth of the Kedusha, under these words, is so great that it is considered important enough to override everything. Even when there is a decree issued in heaven, a heavenly decree can be nullified. Because of this, we can understand how deeply important this tefillah is. Is more important than any other tefillah, more powerful. He later says further, the Shlakish says, that any person answering Amin with all his power, with all kavanah, concentration, then the gates of Gan Eden are open to him. Gates, plural, because there are different levels in Gan Eden. Each tzaddik is higher than the one below him. A person is a type who answers Amin with all his strength, meaning with all his mind concentrated on it, and he has the right, he is given a key to all these separate gates. He can rise to the get into the highest Sadiqim. Though, possibly, he did not do mitzvot in comparison to the Sadiqim. Yet, Amen is so important that with this one word, a person can do mitzvot, he can elevate himself one moment more than another person who works for years in doing mitzvot. What is so important about Amen? The word Amen stands for termination of the three words Kel, Melech, Ne'eman. And this is a testimony. A person testifies to the fact he believes in Hashem. Hashem is Hashem Emet, Hashem of truth, Hashem of justice. The Mizal says, Zohar Kadosh says that if we say anything in a positive sense, it must be the opposite true in a negative sense. If save, Amen, is so important, so great, that it's very so great that the gates of Gan Eden are open to him, when a person who has v'shalom neglects to answer Amen, it must be the opposite result, has v'shalom. Therefore, Rizal brings the pasuk that is brought in the Zohar Kadosh, he explains it. Pasuk says, Male Pnehem Kalon.
Pasuk says, fill their faces with shame. Where is their shame, disgrace?
You get a Gehinon, Chas V'Sholom. He says, Male, fill Pnehem, their faces Kalon, with disgrace. The last letters of these three words, Male is Aleph, Pnehem is Mim, Kalon is Nun. It's the last letters are Amid, Sofei Tevot. And why fill their faces with shame? Because the first word, Male, backwards is Elaim. Elaim means one who is dumb, one who does not speak. Person acts dumb.
When a brecha, or when a tefillah is said, when a kaddish is said in shul, and he, at that moment, he doesn't pay attention,
or chas v'shalom, he is talking, fails to answer amen, punishment is so great
that the opposite of having the keys to get Eden, chas v'shalom, he is sent down through
all the gates of Gehinnom. The words of the Zohar Kadosh are frightening, because as we said, the exact negative of this type.
Zohar Kadosh says there are seven levels of Gehinnom. Who goes down to the bottom of the seventh level?
He who does not answer Amen. They sound strange, sound like very small sin, compared to other sins that are so much greater. And yet, the Shulam Yechayezal says, who are you
to attempt to understand which sin is great and which sin is small?
This is fact. Persons should be very careful to answer Amen,
not to let his mind wander off at the time when Amen should be answered. Certainly, Chas V'Shalom, not to be speaking to a friend, Knis, at that time. There are certain people who say, this is a side point, but
he might put this down as sharply as possible.
People who neglect the answer, I mean, are very careless, callous about this. They say, well, we have seen,
it's so bad, how can we have seen learned men, Minei Chachamim and Knis, rabbis, some Gidolim, big rabbis, who we watched them, we saw that they
weren't that careful. They missed out on answering Amen. So, whether it's good or bad, these people say, at least I'm in good company. I'm in good company with these Gedolim who don't answer Amen.
That is a false statement, because you cannot say good about something that is so serious, where it says that all the gates of Gehinnom are opened, as to show to the one who fails to answer Amen. Truth is there that he's not in good company. Truth is there that this so-called Gadol, or Chacham, fails to answer Amen, is in bad company. Gadol himself is in bad company, not this person is in good company with the Gadol.
No matter how great a person is, he cannot be released from this obligation
of a strictness of mitzvah, of requirement of answering Amen to every brecha,
to every tefillah. Especially to the Amen of a Kaddish. Why we should be zochet to be extremely particular, extremely in this mitzvah,
because every word of the Torah is the word of Hashem, and every word is the truth, as the word Amen itself tells us, Keir Melech Ne'eman. The Torah tells us that Amen is so important and open the gates to get Eden, let us take it for exactly what the Torah says. Once again, the Gemara says that Shmirat Shabbat, observing Shabbat, is the top mitzvah that exists. Shabbat is the Shabbat queen, the queen of Hashem. The Hashem is more particular about the kabod of his queen than any other mitzvah. And that is why the Gemara says oft times that a mechalel Shabbat is like a goy,
because this is it. The whole Torah is included in the Shmirat Shabbat.
Yvette tells us now that we can understand the reasons for certain things happening. When fire breaks out in a certain home, what is the cause that prompted this fire to break out? The spark that lit it is due to the fact that there was a little Shabbat in that home, Chas V'Shalom. Why?
Because
this is a punishment. We learned before that the Jews would obey Shabbat once, in addition to the first one to rectify a Shabbat that was desecrated, first Shabbat that was given. Jews would obey a Shabbat, Mashiach would come. Mashiach comes, what happens? What is the first thing? Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. How is the Beit HaMikdash rebuilt? Hashem says, I am Hashem, I have destroyed the Beit HaMikdash in fire, I will rebuild it in fire. So then, the observance of Shabbat brings about a fire of Kedusha that builds a home, the home of Hashem, Kaviyachol. The Chilul Shabbat brings about the opposite fire that Chas V'Shalom destroys a home. Therefore, the Rebbe says that though there may be other reasons that a fire happens, occurs, primarily, the main reason is because of Chilul Shabbat, Chas V'Shalom. The Rebbe says further that there were many reasons why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. But one of the top reasons was, Abaye says, because of the fact that there was a little Shabbat. In other words, we know the reasons that the Knesset was destroyed because of Sinat Fina and so on. No matter what the reasons were, Abaye says, if the Jews would have obeyed Shabbat very strictly, they could still have protected the Beit HaMikdash from being destroyed. No matter what other sins existed, it wouldn't have brought about truly the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So important is Shemitah Shabbat. Even it says, too, another primary reason that Yerushalayim was destroyed was because of the fact that they showed Chas V'Shalom a disrespect to Talmidei Chachamim, to rabbis. And this sin is so great that this brought about the anger of Hashem, a point where he said, I don't want to be with these people. If they show a disrespect to Talmidei Chachamim, to Rabbanim, Chachamim, then there'll be no more Yerushalayim. That was the cause of the Churban of Yerushalayim. The Rebbe shows that the Pasuk says that the anger of Hashem came about Chamat Hashem de Amo, anger of Hashem against his nation, adli in marpe, till there was no cure. The Rebbe says, what's meant by no cure? Then it answers that a person who embarrasses, who insults a Talmid Chacham, that he is stricken with a makah, a wound, or a sickness, which has no cure. There is no cure for it. Even it brings it a serpent, a bite, poisonous bite of a serpent strikes this person, which no cure can be found. One who is mevazeh respects a Talmid Chacham. Let's take that in a much deeper sense. Try to follow this chidush. Rabbi Kadosh says that in the Tochacha is the chapter in the Chumash which speaks about the klalot, the curses warned the Jews if they disobey the Torah. In the Tochacha there are 98 curses, and the number of letters there are 676, which is gematria exactly, 26 times Hashem's name. There are 26 times that Hashem's name is found in the Tochacha. 26 times 26 is Begimatria 676. In other words, you have the curses consisting of 676 letters, but as the antidote, you have the name of Hashem mentioned there too, to protect against this, which means you need the protection of Hashem against these 98 curses. Now, why are there 98 curses? When a person commits a sin on earth, the Torah says, Pasuk Chumash says, Arba'im Yakenu, he shall receive 40 lashes. It's a Pasuk in the Chumash. There's no denying these words. Torah, the Chumash says, Arba'im Yakenu, he shall receive 40 lashes. This is for a sin, a person who breaks Elotas, a negative mitzvah in the Torah. In heaven, there's a different type of punishment. Heaven, if an angel does something wrong, then he receives 60 lashes. A number of cases we found where you report a time where Eliyahu Navi revealed to Rabbi HaKadosh the secret of Rabbi Chiya and his two sons. They would pray Mashiach would come immediately. He was given 60 heavenly lashes for him, which means that the punishment on earth is 40 lashes. Punishment in heaven is 60 lashes. Then the Gemara says, the Chachamim of the Gemara said, When the Torah says, Arba'im Yakeda, it doesn't mean 40. It means the number that is close to 40, which is 39. 39 lashes is the amount that a person receives. The Malkut, according to the Torah, a halacha, final decision in law is, person who breaks a law that Torah receives not 40, but 39 lashes. Since the Chachamim say that 40 means close to 40, which is 39, therefore, automatically too, there must be the same thing correspondingly in heaven. In heaven says 60 means the number close to 60, which is 59. Now we have, instead of a total of 100, 40 and 60, we have 98, which means there should have been 100 lashes total of punishment, and there are 98. Corresponding to this, there are 98 curses in the Tochacha, total of these two punishments. And the Gemara tells us, how foolish is this person who stands up for a Sefer Torah when it's brought out of the Holy Ark, and does not stand up for a Talmid Chacham when he comes in, because the Chachamim are greater than the written Torah. Written Torah tells us 40 lashes. Yechamim come along and tell us that it's only 39, and they are right. It means that they possess more power, so they should be given a greater respect. Now, a person who shows disrespect to a Chacham cannot receive that reduction which they have declared. For him, there must be not 39 and 59, there must be 40 and 60. So, as the cure for the 88 curses, we have 26 times 26, 26 times the name of Hashem, which corresponds exactly to the 676 letters of the Tochacha, these 98 curses. That's only for a person who believes, respects the Chachamim. But one who disrespects them does not get this discount. He has 100 curses. He doesn't have the name of Hashem to cover the additional two curses. And that's why there is no cure for his sickness, for what strikes him. Law that strikes for the disrespects the Chachamim, there cannot be a cure for. Any other thing that could be a cure, because you have the name of Hashem correspondingly to be Mamtik the Din, to sweeten this din, to correct it, to cure it. But the part that deals with Kavod Chachamim, then there is no cure for it. Hashem says, this person, I will not be Mochel, I will not forgive you. I will not lend my name. If you have my name, can act as a cure for this person. This is the secret reason why there is no cure to a person as the Arzeh, who shames, disgraces, and disrespects Chamiyei Chachamim. Even it says that case of a fire on Shabbat, there is a loophole. Person could, if he wants to, say to Goyim, I'm not telling you to put out this fire, but anybody puts out the fire won't be sorry. In other words, you'll be paid for it after Shabbat. And then, not telling you to do so, but they will do so anyhow, we'll have the fire extinguished for it. Even this is, there was a certain man, Yosef Ben Simei, in whose yard a fire broke out, and this house was in danger of being consumed in this fire. The officials of the city came, the Goyim, came to put out the fire, because this man was a favorite person by the king. They came to his home, put the fire out. He refused to permit them entrance. Because of Kavod Shabbat, he said, I don't want to have any Chilul Shabbat on my property, even if the fire destroys my home. Immediately, a miracle occurred. A heavy rain came down and extinguished the fire. At night, he sent each one of these firemen a special gift. Anyhow, the Gemara says that he didn't have to be so particular, because the law does say that it is permissible to allow a goy to put the fire out. So there's no necessity to be that particular, meaning a different person just to be that particular. He himself, though, was so pure in Shmirat Shabbat, to this greatest extent, that we see proof in it, and Hashem made a miracle for him, that the fire should be extinguished through an act of heaven, through the rain. Point for us to learn here is, that a person who observes a mitzvah so carefully, he will not transgress the slightest iota, slightest fraction to cause an infraction of the mitzvah, and Hashem himself will guard that person against any harm. Never through the act of the mitzvah should any harm befall that person. Of course, he is a Shomer Shabbat, therefore he should lose. This could not happen to him. This is what's meant by Shomer Mitzvah, where you then know that a person observing the mitzvah will never have any evil come from it. Only good can come from the Jewish own Shomer Mitzvah. Should be zocher to perform all the mitzvot of the Torah, kehalacha, according to the wish of Hashem, abiderach abeinu zal. With this, we will be zocher to see the coming of Mashiach, b'yom ben mikdash, amen v'yamin.